That means it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And in our middle studio, we have none other than Cynthia Hostwender and a guest who has joined her this morning, one of the columnists.
Hello. Rich, do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Rich Kessen. I'm retired up here from New York, like many people, but I used to be a professor of pathology and cell biology, so I've been writing columns for this wonderful little newspaper.
All right, and Rich will be joining us. And then, of course, Janet Manko will also be joining us.
She's not there?
Not yet.
Janet?
Not yet. Janet is not here.
You started a little early.
We started about 30 seconds early, so she will be joining us. I'm not worried about that. As a matter of fact, good morning, Janet. How are you?
Good morning. Fine. How is everybody?
We're all fine and ready to go.
Great.
All right, we'll start off on the front page. And once again, U.S. Representative Johanna Hayes was at Housatonic Valley Regional High School on the 27th. And by the way, she's going to be back in our area again. She really is staying in touch with her constituents in Connecticut.
I feel like she's the record holder right now. Like, in my experience, I feel like, you know, Esty was here a lot, Johnson was here a lot, but I feel like Johanna's here all the time.
Yeah.
And Emily Armstrong, who is the best, is a caseworker for Johanna Hayes and is going to be there setting up sessions where you can come in and meet with Emily and some of the Hayes staff and present situations that you feel that you can use help with. And actually, Emily is helping us contact FERC and First Light to talk about getting those bilingual safety signs for swimmers by the river. So Johanna Hayes was at Housatonic Valley Regional High School last week and had a pretty large crowd. Janet was there as well. And people really asking a lot of interesting questions. And of course, one of the things that's on people's minds is the possibility of impeachment. And even though she's a fairly new congresswoman, very clear on what's legal and what's not, and sort of gave a little bit of a background on it, and seems supportive of things that people want to do, but is stressing, you know, we have to do it according to the rules.
There is a process, and either the Democrats will start the process or they won't. They'll wait for the election. I mean, it's a pretty simple question. The media tends to make more of it than it really is at this particular point, because Mr. Trump is always in the news no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Nice to see once again Ned Lamont also visiting our area.
Again, I feel like I've seen Ned Lamont more than I've seen any governor in the past. He's been great. He's quite funny. He's very low-key, very easygoing, and was at Lime Rock Park for Historic Fest, which he said was his first time there. Got a tour from Skip Barber. The two of them went zipping around the track in an electric car. And, yeah.
I love the picture on the front page. It's nice to see Skip and the governor, but also the Maserati being driven around. I mean, that's just...
Nice tight shot from Lance Christensen, right? Yeah, it's really great.
That's pretty cool.
And lots of coverage inside of the historic festival.
All right. Now, also, a timber competitor from North Canaan was at the Goshen Fair.
That's our Mari Cullerton, longtime Lakeville Journal intern and then reporter, and just the loveliest kid ever. Not a kid anymore, a young lady. And so Patrick Sullivan, who wasn't able to go to the Goshen Fair this weekend, said, make sure you go to the Goshen Fair so you can see Mari, because she's competing in the timber. So timber has become a really huge deal around here, and there's a woman in Kent named Shannon Strong, who is the coach of the Goshen Timber Team. And Mari, who went to Housatonic Valley Regional High School and is at UConn now, started competing on the UConn Timber Team. And this is the first year they've had timber events at Goshen. They built a new special stage for it, and I've watched some of it. It's unbelievably impressive. And on Sunday, they had professionals from all over the East Coast and Canada. On Monday, Mari and other local competitors were sawing away and throwing axes as the rain allowed.
Willie Hallahan posted pictures of the axe throwing unbelievable. It always throws me back to that Johnny Carson episode where Ed Ames threw the axe and hit the so-called target right in between the legs, which was like a 1 in a million shot. You couldn't do it if you tried. But it's really interesting to see in these true agricultural fairs these things that go on.
I have to say, I went to the Dutchess County Fair. I love the Dutchess County Fair. It's really fun. But I really love the Goshen Fair because it's a true ag fair. And this is one of the first years in a while that we haven't had one of our local kids, an intern or reporter, at the fair for us, because they always know who's local that's competing with their steers or their horses or their whatever. So I regret that I do not have that to offer you this year. And of course, there's the changeover in the ag department at Hoosie. But so we'll hope that next year we'll be able to show young people who are showing their cows or whatever. It's always impressive. And it just feels great.
You know, the Dutchess County Fair is an ag fair, but that really is a separate portion of the fair. There's two fairs. There's the ag fair portion of it, and then there's the entertainment. Yeah. Columbia County Fair, which is bigger than Goshen Fair, is like the Goshen Fair. The agriculture and everything is mixed in with it, so it holds that heritage.
And I believe, as a city person, I believe that what happens is these young people start out at a small local fair like the Jack Brown 4-H, and then they work their way up, and then they go to Goshen, so that it's almost like a sporting event. They're working their way up through the larger and larger fairs until they get to the Big E, which is in Massachusetts.
All right. And during the sports car parade, which ran through Salisbury, a pedestrian was struck by a car.
And not by a vintage car. But by
a regular car.
Weirdly, we couldn't get any information from the state police on this, and I happened to be at a cocktail party on Sunday, and the woman who had been struck was there. So we finally did get the information from the police, and that's turning out to be a very dangerous part of town. This is the third incident in, I think, like 5 years. I think Tom Shackman is the first one I can remember. He was very badly injured, and then Barbara Pogue was died after she was struck. And so then we have Robin Blaine, who was badly banged up but was at a cocktail party with me on Sunday. So we're happy that she's okay. But that was not part of Friday that she got struck, not Thursday.
I think it happened on Thursday because I know that they had to route traffic around with the car parade around her.
I'm gonna dispute you because I got it from the police the police report, which says
unless there was another one.
Might have been another one but I know somebody they had to route cars around them when somebody on Thursday in
good.
Salisbury. All right, now this is a big story.
They're all big stories.
No, this is a real big one because anybody that rides through Lakeville, really, this is a big story. The new regs open a path now for housing changes and could finally mean the end of that eyesore, which used to be the Chinese restaurant.
And so this is a little bit encoded. So the Planning and Zoning Commission in Salisbury has been working for quite some time on these regulations, and they're designed to increase affordable housing, and there are apartments in Lakeville Village, which is great. And they're looking at both that area over in the historic district where they're talking about maybe building an affordable housing building, but also the Chinese restaurant, which people feel is very blighted. And, you know, nothing ever is completely fixed by a regulation change. The building still has to be sold, and I think there's still some there's still some challenges in the owners of the building and their asking price, which I think is super inflated.
But at least now if somebody wants to buy it, the zoning overlay is there where they can do the work if they buy it.
Correct.
Right. And there is a potential buyer and there is a potential builder who's a benevolent local contractor who's been very active in helping to spruce up Lakeville.
All right, Bernie Drews, pity the toll taker.
Yeah, Bernie. So Bernie is, you know, Nature's Notebook has taken on many guises, and Bernie really loves history. He's a hiker, and he'll talk about nature, but he really likes to write about history. And he's talking about a no longer extant road, which now we take Dutcher's Bridge from Salisbury into North Canaan, but there used to be another bridge called the Weetog Bridge, so he's talking about that.
And congratulations to Eagle Scout Aiden Chernesky.
You know, Aiden Chernesky is one of those kids that we've known since he was a baby, and just a really lovely kid. And his parents do a lot of stuff with him and go ice fishing with him and like do scout stuff. And he's just a great kid, and he's now an Eagle Scout. And when I was in my youth, I don't think I knew any Eagle Scouts. And in my 20s, I met one or two Eagle Scouts, and you'd always be like, wow, that's pretty impressive. And up here, I have to say, there's a lot of young people who become Eagle Scouts, and it's really great. And so Aiden Chernesky, our newest Eagle Scout.
Nice story on Tom Blagden Jr.'s book, and that is a great image from the Grand Canyon, Unseen Beauty. The Grand Canyon is magnificent from up above, but it's also really otherworldly from down in it.
Right. And so we have two stories this week on Tom Blagden. Janet will talk about his work in Compass this week, but Alexander Wilburn interviewed him. So Tom Blagden is from a very local family. His father or his grandfather was an art teacher at the Hotchkiss School for many years, very beloved. His brother Alan is a very well-known painter and also a beloved local person. So Tom hasn't been living here for a while, but is back. His work is on display at the Hotchkiss School, I believe for the next 2 years, in the entrance lobby. And he's got this beautiful new book about Colorado and the Grand Canyon, and he will be at the White Hart on September 12th, I believe. Talking about it. Yeah, September 12th.
All right.
In one of those nice collaborations with Oblong and Scoville Memorial Library.
And then Patrick's story on the aid to Ethiopia from good old Lee H. Kellogg School.
Yeah, Chris Hanley, who's been an art teacher at Lee Kellogg for many years, has become part of this group that supports the McKelley Blind School. And every 2 years she goes and she does a check-in and they do fundraising here. And, you know, I think it was Bill Gates who I just heard saying the other day, it's incredible how what seems like a small amount of money here goes a really long way in another country. And so doing great work to help blind children and blind adults in Ethiopia.
And you have a story on an author.
Betty Krasny is a very active leader of book club discussions and also of writing workshops and a retired teacher, and did something that I think that we all sort of secretly want to do, which is to write a funny novel about life up here. And especially if you've come here from another place, especially at first, everything seems so eccentric and odd, and over time it starts to seem like completely normal. But Betty's managed to hold on to the wonder, and her new book, The Good Life? Explores that.
All right. In Kent, a convalescent home plans.
So really what it is, it's a sober house. And it's interesting because the Roberti family, the father is a successful DC lobbyist. And, you know, I won't go into the complexities of the family, but he had bought a property in Kent on Carter Road, a pretty large property. And his son, Dan, ran against Elizabeth Esty for U.S. rep many years ago. And Vin, the other son, has been head of, maintenance, but grounds and services, I guess, for High Watch, which is one of the really premier rehab institutes here. And they've decided to take this residential property, which I think has 20, I think it sleeps 20 people or something. It's a very, very large house. And they want to turn it into a sober house. So they've been making presentations to Kent Planning and Zoning, and there are a lot of concerns about it, and we'll see what happens.
And for the people that have seen Lola coming in and out of Sharon,
right.
It's kind of a cool idea where somebody's got a nice little home-based business.
And a very interesting, quirky person, too.
Yeah.
So I feel like I haven't yet done it, but I'd like to just sort of stop by there and chat with Brenda Hall, who's a woodworker. And she had been here for several years. She was studying with Ian Ingersoll. She left. She's been traveling around. She's back now, and you can't miss her property. It's the very cool little camper trailer and one of her many diverse interests. So she fixed up the camper trailer, and she's doing woodworking and selling some of her work. Perfect as you're thinking about holiday gifts, but also she's got some produce from her garden right now she's selling.
And the bikes are in Cornwall, West
Cornwall. Yeah, I guess they opened. So what used to be the Wandering Moose, I guess it's appropriate, a new business that has to do with wandering.
You go from the Wandering Moose to the bicycling bikes.
Yeah. And this e-bicycle thing is huge right now, and especially here in an area that's very hilly. I'm from the Midwest, and I used to ride my bike everywhere. And we did not really have hills. I mean, there were some, but not like around here. And so I don't really ride my bike. But now I'm thinking about it because who wouldn't want to with that little extra boost of an e-bike? So you can rent one and try it out. And we have John Torsiello, my sports writer, writing about e-bikes and the new shop either for this coming week or the next, depending on whether he's able to catch the owners.
The good news on these pages that we're on now is that it shows the bike shop. It shows that person being very inventive at home. Mm-hmm. And then you see two other stories right on the adjoining page of Picanti's. It's great to see a guy take a chance at a restaurant in Lakeville, Salisbury. It works and then opens up another building that was just sitting empty in North Canaan, Picanti's.
And I feel like he'd had another restaurant somewhere in Connecticut before.
Down south, yeah. Absolutely.
So Picanti's, of course, a block from my house, and lots of fun. And they took what used to be Townline Pizza, and they've refurbished it. I was in there yesterday. I had lunch there. And it's cute. It's kind of mauve-colored and very festive. And the food is good, as anybody knows who's been to the Picanti's in Lakeville. And Noel Ambury had written this article before they had changed the sign over. And in like the couple days after he turned in the story, they changed the sign. So it feels slightly out of date. But the good news is that Bacanti's is open and we have their hours. And they don't do delivery, but you can get takeout and food's good.
You can order in advance and it's on the internet. And it's there when you get there.
Yeah. An extensive menu, too.
Yeah, very extensive.
Yeah.
And the House of Books is a smaller, but it's still the House of Books.
It's small. And so the larger story about the House of Books is that Kent Barnes LLC, which had been purchased by this investment group that is led by Hiram Walker and Peter Vaughn, who's one of the partners, own a lot of property in that center of Kent. And there's a bunch of real estate shifting going on in the village of Salisbury right now. And it's similar where you have one person or one company that owns several properties and makes it a little bit easier to kind of move stuff around in an efficient way. And so House of Books had been in that sort of two-story building. I believe it used to be the post office. And Robin Dill had been running it and for personal reasons decided it was time for her to close it down and move on to a new location. And so the Kent Barnes group purchased the bookstore and realized that there was a lot of really essential structural work that had to be done there. So the House of Books is in a smaller space. It's super cute. But they're planning to move back, I think, by this autumn into the larger space.
All right. The Historic Festival had a very successful weekend at Lime Rock Park once again.
Great weather, except for Monday when they had to cancel some of the afternoon races. But they got a lot in and some beautiful, beautiful cars. And Lance Christensen, who is a great photographer, is also a gearhead and has a great story. Talked to some of the notable collectors about some of the notable cars. And then Patrick went to the parade and to the party afterward in Falls Village. Falls Village is really turning into
Party Central.
Party Central, especially for cars and old vehicles.
We flipped the page over, and there's Patrick Sullivan's story, a soggy but satisfying kickoff to football season.
Yeah, you probably remember Billy Simmons, who was an EMT around here, and he's moved away, seems to have lost some weight, which is great, remains a close friend of Patrick's, and so they always go to a preseason game for the Jets, which is a very funny story. John Torsiello wrote about the new pickleball court in Lakeville, which has been painted over my tennis courts, and I'm annoyed about it, but a great sport, and they're going to be playing on Sunday mornings, I think, and we have contact information. And Rich is grinning at me because he likes pickleball. They play it in Norfolk where he lives. And Quincy Cabot talking about an outing where they clean some barberries off these trails, and vases are a super huge problem. Find out why, and also find out how to get a good workout.
Now, I know you're upset about the pickleball, but you know what? They've done a great job, the Lakeville folks, with Community Field and that intersection and everything like there to bring it back to life like it used to be when I was there. And always were events going and always people hanging out in that area when I was young.
Well, let me do a preview, which is we're working now because I'm compulsive on our spring 2020 Towns and Villages special section, which does a profile of people in each town. And the inspiration for the 2020 issue was the Lakeville Community Conservancy led by Susan Galuzzo. And they're doing most of that work of fixing up Community Field and little stuff that you barely notice that they've done. You just feel a little better when you're driving by and that horrible hedge isn't there anymore. And they put in split rail fence where there used to be the chain link fence. So look for that in 2020.
Absolutely. And your entrance with that park, entrance to that is also makes a huge difference.
Yep.
Let us go to the opinion page. And ladies and gentlemen, the person that gives us the opinion is Janet Manco, a visit from 5th District's representative.
Right. Patrick and I both were at the community event that our U.S. Representative Johanna Hayes held at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. And the reason that we decided to do an editorial on this as well is because I think we should appreciate the fact that, as we say in the editorial, for anyone thinking everything in Washington has gone to hell in a handbasket, Johanna Hayes is a breath of fresh air and certainly a strong antidote to that feeling. So give it a read, see what she talked about and what she's working on. You know, she is a really enthusiastic and knowledgeable and intrepid representative, and we only wish her well in all she's trying to do.
All right, and I always go to turning back the pages. My two favorite is the following. Mr. and Mrs. Martin Merriman of Torrington were in town over over Sunday. And I love this one also. Samuel Whitbeck is working in the drugstore while Mr. Champagne is out of town.
So. Yeah, that sounds made up, doesn't it? You know, what is that one? But anyway, it's not our wonderful person who does this column, Norma Galais, finds all of these in Lakeville Journal.
All right, now we have, of course, the Viewpoint page, and there's lots of different, from Carol Asher to Dick Howells, but also we have a special guest in studio.
Yes, we do.
I'm going to talk about your column.
Richard Kesson is here. Richard, hello. Oh,
thank you for having me. I've been writing a column. I'm sort of like the little old country scientist, and it's we try to write these things in a way that is a little more explains a little more about the basis of disease or some other catastrophe that people understand. And lately, Janet and Cynthia and I have decided to concentrate on problems that we face here. And there's none worse than the opioid epidemic, but we also cover vaccines and the country about all that, and also other bogus treatments that are being preferred to the population. And our attitude is sort of happy skepticism. But anyhow, so we have recently four articles in a row on the opioid situation here. Now, I'm a cell biologist. I know all about the structure of cells and nerve cells and what affects them. And, of course, heroin does. And so in the course of these columns, I've described exactly how it works, why those opioid receptors, which are called the mu receptors, which I didn't know when I started this research, are affected by the drug, and why the drug suppresses them. And so that is part of the explanation for which the addict or the victim just needs more and more. And when they get out of rehab, those receptors are back, take their original amount of drug, and that stops breathing. Opioid affect the neurons that control breathing. And you may think, well, that's a totally natural thing and doesn't have any sort of circuit backup, but it does. And that's a terrifying outcome. And so as a cell biologist, I wrote the first three columns as a basic scientist. And then I realized that basic scientists are a little isolated. And we really have to get out and talk to the people who are working on the front lines. We're a little bit like New Yorkers who were suddenly dropped into the woods and told to find their way home. So I did that, and I went to the McCall Center, and I spent a lot of time there. And I have to say, this is the most extraordinary place. Maria...
Kutant Skinner.
Kutant Skinner, yes, and there is a hyphen there. And her team are just—they have this extraordinary thing, where they have a task force meeting on Thursday mornings at 8:30. And I've been to a couple of them. And the whole administrative structure and hospital structure of Litchfield County shows up and makes sure that there's enough Narcan, enough. They tell stories of people who've recovered, where the centers are. It's just a very professional organization. I expected them to be a little depressed, and there was none of that. They were just out there working, and so I don't think many of us know that. But it was an extraordinary. I thought as I was coming out, this is Narcan for cynicism. I mean, you couldn't come out of that while thinking, wow, these are really pros.
It's interesting that your article appears. We only have about a minute to go, but because in Philadelphia yesterday a big thing happened where Philadelphia was going to open up a clinic where people could have opioids, but at least have a doctor around to make sure they didn't kill themselves or go out, and it creates a problem because of national drug rules, and they override local drug rules, and the opioid crisis. Just keeps getting more tangled and tangled and tangled.
It does, and it's sad because Maria was saying that until these more powerful drugs like fentanyl came on the scene, there are hundreds of opioids, and they all have different effects. Unfortunately, some of them are antagonists. They were beginning to turn the page, but they got set back by that. But nonetheless, they keep working.
But what's wonderful about what you're saying is that it shows that there's a structure out there in place where people are actually working, sometimes despite what you might hear, about how hopeless it is.
All right, we have about 2 minutes left.
Well, and I'll just say we are so grateful to have somebody like Rich Kesson taking what he does for us as seriously as he does and getting this information and going out in the field. And do give this column a read and go back on our website, tricornernews.com, and read some of his other work, including the previous three on opioids.
All right, and let us take a look at Compass.
This is our tabloid Compass that for the next few weeks it will be inside the paper again because things will slow down. But this week there's a lot going on. So we have open mic nights. We have Crescendo opening the season. We have a story on Tom Blagden and his book and his reading. And Sharon Shard reading at Scoville Memorial Library. We have Christopher Little in Norfolk, who's known as a photographer, but now has written a mystery book set in the northwest corner. We have Romancing the Light, a wonderful show at Argazi Art in Lakeville. We have Caitlin Olinger writing about sour beer, and fortunately she tells us how to pronounce it, Gose. So don't miss that. It's great and refreshing in the autumn. And we have, how fortunate are we to have Sharon Playhouse still doing a play for us, a musical, Nonsense, which is going until September 15th, and Marjorie Reed being celebrated by Salisbury Family Services, our cover.
That's
a wonderful artist.
Great cover and great picture of Marjorie Reed on the
just
cover
great.
There.
So much going on in the area. Don't miss calendar and get out there and appreciate the wonderful days of September.
And you know what Sharon Playhouse also is doing, after they finish up with Nonsense, they're bringing in Maureen McGovern for their gala.
Yeah.
Then they have the HMS Pinafore with the
Salisbury
Sinfonietta. And then they're doing a co-fundraiser with the Sharon Daycare Center.
Yeah, it's just fantastic how this group has reached out to the community and become a part of it and is so supportive, and the community supports them. And just so much fun to have them there.
And we have a profile on Robert and Alan next week on the front page of the Lakeville Journal.
All right. TriCornerNews.com on the web, on Facebook, and also Instagram. And yes, folks, you can pick up the paper or you can have it also delivered to your house as well.
Or read it online.
We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you.
That is this week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. And you can find them at TriCornerNews.com.